Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Back, it's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. It's my pleasure, as always. And I'm excited about our good friend Joan Pride being back with us. Joan is senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and just she is not only one of the top members of our brain trust. I think maybe she is the leader in when it comes to being sardonic. Right, Joan? Would you agree with that?
I'm only one of the top members. I'm a little insulted.
You're the top member, but you're the top when it comes to being sardonic.
Okay. Well, as long as I'm the top member overall, then
and notice
okay.
I didn't say sarcastic either. But, you know.
Yeah, I'd like to know the difference there.
Well, I'm not sure,
is there
but
a
I'm
nuance?
I'm trying to be charming in a way.
Right.
By the way, Joan, this is really exciting for me today. This is the anniversary of the first edition, the first issue of Field and Stream. I've been talking about this all day. The magazine,
really?
Field and Stream. Yeah.
Yeah?
I mean, when you go to the doctor's office, you know, if you think about it, you know, there's all these women's magazines in the doctor's offices, and there's one guy magazine. That's Field and Stream. That's it.
Really?
So, yeah. So, I'm so thankful for Field and Stream.
Okay.
So anyway, I just thought
I'd look for you.
I know you would be. Hey, Joan, what's going on in D.C. these days inside the Beltway?
I'll tell you something. I can sum it up in one word: nothing.
Congratulations.
It's wonderful here. Yes, Congress is gone. They're having their annual summer vacation. You know,
the hordes have gone home, haven't they?
Yeah, I don't get a month off, but they get a month off.
I know.
But it kind of feels like I have a month off when they're gone.
Of course, they don't think they've got a month off because a lot of them are running for their lives back in their districts.
Most of them are to get
to come back. They like this gravy train they've got up there in Washington, where they get treated like royalty and they don't do their jobs.
Right, and then they go back to their districts and they get eggs thrown at them.
Right,
at least
I hope they are getting eggs thrown at them.
Yeah.
I really do. I hope they
Democrat
are. I hope
Republican alike. I hope
exactly
they're all getting eggs thrown
that's exactly right.
Yep.
Every darn one of them. I hope they're all getting an earful of not doing their job, and I hope a lot of it is around energy. I hope a lot of that's around energy. But anyway, Joan, let's move over and talk about the letter. The economy in this. I want you to read this first line here because I was talking about this before you got here. Give us this term again. Explain it to us.
Well, it's called a growth recession, which sounds
who calls
a
it
little
that?
Bit oxymoronic.
Who calls it that?
Who
is
calls
that like,
it that?
Is that like jumbo shrimp?
You're right. Yes, I think it is. Because growth and recession are polar opposites. One goes one way and one goes the other way.
That's right. So is this your term, Joan? Did you invent this term?
No, I don't think so.
Who is this a Kiplinger term, or did you guys steal this from somebody else?
No, I don't think so. In fact, you know what? I'll Google it and let you know.
Well, you did put it in quotes, so it's as if you don't know who to attribute to. You just know that somebody said it once upon a time.
Yes, I think
so. What's
I
a growth
so.
Recession?
Yeah. Well, a growth recession is technically, we're not in a recession because there's no negative numbers for GDP, but we're losing jobs and consumer confidence is not good.
You know what I think a growth recession is?
What?
I think it's when the economy slows a little bit and we have a nation of whiners that thinks the world's coming to an end.
You and Phil Graham.
See, I think Phil Graham was right.
Yeah. Wait, I have an answer for you.
Okay.
The term was created by Dr. Solomon Fabricant of New York University.
Yeah. What century was he? Did he do this in?
That's a good question. It doesn't say.
I mean, in my lifetime, we've never had anything that could approach a growth recession. I mean, I first started noticing, slow economies back in '69, '70. Then we had a big one in the mid '70s with housing and gas. Then we had another big one with inflation and interest rates that you first saw back in the early 80s.
Well, this is interesting because this site I'm looking at says that two related terms are soft landing and jobless recovery.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, a growth recession, I guess the flip side of a growth recession would be a jobless recovery.
Yeah. Well, if the truth is, though, if you really look at what's going on out there, it kind of makes it, it is kind of intuitive, that term, growth recession, because
right.
what we've got, what I think it really means is that most of the really bad stuff is between our ears, not in the landscape.
Right.
Because, you know, we haven't had a technical recession. Dr. Bill Dunkelberg was just on the show in the last hour, and he was telling us that small business owners still have people they want to hire that they can't find people to hire.
No kidding.
For jobs they can't fill because they don't have qualified workers. Skills are
hard to hard to replace.
So that tells you that the businesses still want to hire people.
Right.
We got 4.5% or so of our people are employed. Yeah, we're not growing jobs, but we still have employment. So anyway, it's an interesting term, and but let's dive into some of the details, Joan,
okay.
and talk about some of the good news. The first one, I guess, is exports, huh?
Oh gosh, yes. We say they're headed for growth of 7% this year, slightly less next year, but that's still pretty good.
Well, and we keep seeing the trade deficit is improving, right?
That's right. And now I know that this cuts both ways, but since I'm the currency expert, I think I need to mention that the dollar is strengthening,
yeah.
which in a lot of ways is good because we've been harmed by a weak dollar in certain ways.
Well, you know, the interesting thing about that we've observed, Joan, and even regular folks like me, mere mortals like me, as opposed to you, Joan. Can look at what's going on and understand a little bit more about currency, because it's part of the dollar is part of the issue is that the dollar is strengthening, but a lot of it is because other currencies like the euro is weakening. So it's not, you know,
right.
when all currencies are measured against other currencies, right?
Yes.
So
exactly.
So if those currencies are coming down and ours is going up, it makes ours look better. You know, like ours is doing a lot better than maybe it is.
Right.
You see what I mean? And so that's that, but either way, it's good news.
Oh, no question about
There's
it.
There's nothing bad about that, except right. Joan, except for exports. The good news is we've got high exporting in the United States. That's good for the economy. We want the dollar to strengthen against other currencies, but that's not good for exports. It's
That's
a tangled,
right.
It's a sticky wicket, folks. It's a tangled web that Joan's weaving here. 20 after the hour, I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Back, it's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Little Marvin Gaye bringing us back there. Joan Pride is our guest, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and the leader. What's the best way to say it? The best example of I'm still not saying this right, Joan. So, well, I called you sardonic a minute ago, and my crack research team has provided me with some information here, Joan.
Oh, really?
Sardonic means scornful, mocking. But here's kind of what I think about, Joan. Here's another definition. Disdainfully humorous. How about that?
Oh, I like that.
Yeah, I thought you
that
would.
Works.
I thought you would. But sarcastic means harsh, bitter, derisive, and sharply, what is the word here? See, sneering, cutting remarks. Yeah, sometimes you wander over there, but mostly you're just mostly you're just disdainfully humorous, Joan.
Oh yeah, that's
so,
me.
I think so too. Anyway, let's get back to the letter, Joan. And good job, JJ. By the way, my crack research team. Let's talk about consumers.
Okay.
Oh no, I'm sorry. I'm housing. Housing. Let's just do housing first. The you guys say that housing should start leveling off, right?
Boy, thank goodness, right?
Yeah.
We're saying that we've had the biggest decline in single-family starts in 70 years.
Wow.
And that it's still going to be a drag on GDP until 2010. So, in other words, through this year and next year.
But Joan, here's my prediction. Here's the beauty of this situation we have right now. Those are real houses made of real stuff that real people can move into one day. And so all we got to do is get the mortgage industry back onto an even keel.
Right.
We've already got the jobs. I mean, people are working. They're not going to we're not going to go into a situation where people are laid off. I mean, we're going to keep our jobs, I think, going. So my point is, sometime in 2009, the mortgage industry will find its feet again. It'll find some sanity and develop a model that'll take us into the rest of the decade. And those houses will start being snapped up. And when that happens, that's the same thing that took our economy downward is going to take our economy upward.
That's right.
And I predict that will happen within the next 12 months.
So wow.
You can write that down.
Wow.
But see, here's the thing. These aren't houses that are proposed that will be built. These are houses that are now empty that people can move into immediately.
Oh, right. That's right.
See? So think about that. I predicted within 12 months, Kiplinger will report on the growth in job and house acquisitions and the growth in the mortgage industry.
Okay.
So that's what's going to happen.
We'll get back to you on that.
But speaking of mortgages, Joan, let's talk about credit. Consumer spending, I should say, which you cannot talk about consumer spending without talking about credit, can you?
That's true. But, you know, I think that marathon-running consumer is finally getting a little winded here.
And you know what winded them? When their credit got cut off.
That's right. That's right.
You know, that's the truth, isn't it?
That's true. I know.
Somebody said that the consumers were using their home equity like an ATM.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
That's what was happening for a long time. But now, not only the mortgage industry has been hurt, and not too many people are going to get second home equity lines of credit now, because a lot of banks think that you may already be upside down. Your total debt to equity may be upside down on your house.
That's right. That's right. You know, people's equity has, in a lot of cases, has declined, so there isn't that much to ask for anymore for a lot of people.
But there's one more shoe to drop, Joan. You guys don't point this out this week. We talked about it in the past.
Right.
But there's one more shoe to drop, and that's credit cards.
Well, and the collapse of another major bank or investment firm.
That's the thing you do report. But the other thing is the credit card situation.
Okay.
There are a lot of credit card debt out there. There's a ton
of
credit card debt.
That's right.
And I used to know the number. I don't remember it exactly, so I'm not going to say what I think it is, but it's big. And so the credit card situation. But my point is about the growth of the economy. Is credit cards? It's not only the balances, but the availability of credit has been diminished.
That's right.
Credit card companies have cut back on credit lines for people.
Yes.
And so that's hurting the economy right now, and probably will through this holiday season coming up.
I think so.
Yeah. So, all right. The other thing, Joan, is you guys point out, though, that the outright recession is probably not going to happen.
That's true. So that is the good news. Right, right, right.
A technical recession, right?
Well, we say it can't be ruled out, an outright recession, but it's unlikely.
Bill Dunkelberg said that the second quarter GDP for 2008 is going to be revised up to about 2.80, I think he said. So almost 3% just for the second quarter.
That's good news.
Well, it's good news, but it's going to make... It may be the shining quarter of the year.
Oh, okay.
And it might wind up making the rest of the year look bad.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I almost kind of wish we could have evened it out, spread it out a little bit more.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to stand by. Folks, we're going to take a quick break. It's 29 after. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. I'm Jim Blassingame, and I'm the Duke of Earl.
Walking through this world, nothing can stop the Duke of Earl. And you.
inspire small business.
We can teach these barbarians a lesson in Western methods and efficiency that will put them to shame.
He tells it like it is.
I realize how difficult it's going to be in this godforsaken place where you can't find what you need. But there's the challenge.
He's Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate.
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
We're back. It's 34 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. My websites are smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. I hope you'll check those out and use them to your advantage. Smallbusinessadvocate.com and askjim.biz. The last one, by the way, is our knowledge base where you get small business answers now. Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors. Joan, we were talking about the economy, and one of the things that's happening right now is with the collapse of the commodities bubble, as you know,
right.
Oil's down $30 a barrel. Basically, just about all of the commodities have dropped quite significantly. That's helped inflation significantly. The rest of the world seems to be slowing a little bit. There seems to be a little bit of a global slowdown. That's helping with demand for products. That's helping with the price of products and commodities. So inflation is easing globally. That's giving the Fed a little bit of cover to hold rates down in the United States so that they can focus on the growth of the economy, right?
Right, exactly.
Because if they didn't, you know, the Eurozone has a mandate to focus on inflation. Let the growth be hanged.
Right.
In the United States, we don't have such a mandate. They watch both of them. They kind of try to you know, manage both of those, the horns of those dilemma. But because inflation seems to be easing a little bit, it's going to allow rates to go lower, which should help the United States economy get kick-started into a little faster recovery. So I'm hoping that's going to be the case.
Yes.
From as someone might say, from my mouth to God's ears, right?
Exactly.
Speaking of the global economy, Joan, you guys have got an outstanding table here on global forecasts.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about, let's talk about the world numbers there.
Okay. Well, the world numbers aren't bad. We say GDP growth this year should be 3% and only slightly below that next year.
And that's the global slowing that you guys are concurring with the other folks out there who I'm looking at. And it looks like for 2009 and 2008 are going to be very similar in the United States.
Yes, exactly.
Which about 1.5, which Joan, if we can pull that off, if we can actually pull that off where we might not like where we are.
Yeah.
But if we can pull that off, Joan, and get through 2009 and start cleaning up, you know, absorbing some of this economic hematoma that we've achieved over the last year or so, I think that's going to be a very positive thing.
Yes.
I mean, we don't, to be frank, Joan, we don't need to come roaring back with 4% growth next year.
True.
I don't think that's going to happen.
We don't want to be greedy, no.
Well, you know, I don't mind being greedy. I just think from a healthy standpoint, you know, but the good news, Joan, is that by a year from now, you know, we could be really starting to surge a little bit. I think that's going to be good news. But the Eurozone, that's the one that's really kind of scary, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it sure is. The Eurozone, we say growth in 2008, 1.3%, and then below 1% next year. So they're very close to no growth at all.
And see, Joan, that's dropping exactly. And that's the point I was making a minute ago about their mandate to fight inflation but not pay attention to growth.
Right, exactly.
So as you know, the ECD, ECB, I should say, European Central Bank, they've raised rates or held rates higher than the U.S. has. It's held their inflation down, but it's also hurt their growth.
Right.
So those cows are now coming home to folks, or the chickens, I should say, are coming home to roost. but look at China, Joan, still over 9% or more.
Yeah,
year over year.
Boy, that's a little scary. At 9% next
mm-hmm.
Year, but close to 10% this year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, and India's doing, Brazil's doing well. India's still growing.
Right.
Russia, Joan, look at Russia. 7% growth.
Yeah.
A lot of that's petroleum, though, Joan.
That's right. That's right.
A lot of that's petroleum, which is another issue. Joan, let's move over and talk about the some money matters, variable rates. What's going on there? What do you say about people who can pay their bills? What should they do?
Well, if you're facing a reset, but you're in good financial shape, you can cut a deal with your bank because they want to keep their best customers from jumping ship.
They sure don't want their delinquency numbers to increase, right?
That's right.
So if they can keep you in the house making the payments, you, for the one time in your life, folks, you may have a little leverage. If you're in a good customer, you may have a little leverage when you renegotiate your variable rate mortgage. Think about that. 20 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back. A little bit of Steely Dan bringing us back. One of the great bands of history. Welcome back. It's 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and Joan Pride is our guest. She's senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, and they've got a website that I always like telling my audience about because it's a good one. I've been using it for a long time now, kiplinger.com, and of course their annual, I should say their weekly flagship document, the Kiplinger Letter, which has been in publication continuously now since 1923. I remember, John, I know I've said this before, I remember decades ago going into offices of people I was calling on in when I was in sales back in those days, and there would be the Kiplinger Letter laying there on their desk.
Oh, gosh.
I'm talking about back in the 70s, early 70s maybe. And so, that's how long I've known about you guys. And of course, that's the flagship, the Kiplinger Letter. And they've got four biweekly letters, the California Letter, the Tax Letter, the Agriculture Letter, and the Biofuels Letter. And then, of course, they got a magazine.
You bet. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Magazine.
And they also got a toll-free number.
They sure do. It's 800-544-0155.
And, folks, call that number. Go to the website. You can subscribe on the website, so check it out. I like telling my audience about them because they do such good work. I like knowing, Joan, that you guys are still a family-owned business.
Yes.
And technically, Joan, still a small business.
That's true. That's
not small. Not small like my business.
Right.
but technically, still a small business.
Yes.
A small family.
Nothing technical about it. We're a small business.
So it makes me happy to know about that. Joan, let's talk about freight. And we don't always spend a lot of time on freight, but with the price of diesel, which is just nuts. It makes no sense to me at all, Joan. Diesel fuel is trash fuel. You know, it's basically the dregs almost of what's left over after they pull the light ends off and make gasoline, and yet it's ridiculously high.
Yeah.
And that's hurting trucking, isn't it?
Well, it sure is, no question about it.
So what's the news there on trucking? I mean, the attrition rate, the failure rate of trucking, and that number blew me away when I saw that.
Right. Well, and we're saying, but because diesel prices are so high, we're saying hefty surcharges are going to continue.
Yeah, folks, if you have companies that you work with regularly, you have regular shipping arrangements. Surely you're talking to them about trying to lock in some prices or minimizing the surcharges. You're gonna and if you're shipping yourself, if you are a shipper, you've got to build these surcharges in. I mean, people are used to paying them.
Right.
You've got to build them in, or you're not going to make it. Let me tell you what's going to happen to you. Here's the number, Joan, 3,500. Tell us what that means.
Well, the number. You mean the number 3,500?
Yeah, right there in the second line there. That's the number of freight companies that are
closing.
Oh,
sorry, I'm looking at the diesel.
Yeah.
The problem with the diesel prices. No.
Yeah.
We're saying that the industry is shrinking. That 3,500 firms will shut down.
That's
and others are
huge.
Cutting back.
A lot of these little companies, they don't have the ability to hedge on the open market.
Right.
And that upsets me, Joe, because 3,498 of those 3,500 are small businesses.
I bet they are.
And that makes me unhappy to hear right. that. But there is one reality, Joan, that's not good for trucking, and is really being exacerbated by the freight costs, and that is the advent of rail. Rail is really coming on in the United States. Something like I think it's something like a 1/4 the cost of freight.
Wow.
Of shipping to ship by rail.
Jeez.
compared to trucking.
Well, and I know this is a slightly off point, but I've just been reading how passenger rails are gaining ground again after practically becoming non-existent. People are crowding onto trains again, both not just commuter trains, but also long-distance trains.
Did you know that China has a maglev train?
I believe it. Everybody
they do.
Else does.
400 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Why can't we have one of those?
Good question.
I'd love to ride a maglev train, wouldn't you?
I think I know why.
Why?
Politics.
Oh, yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah.
No, you're not probably right. Joan, everything that's wrong is politics. we can just, that's just a broad brush. We can. It's so darn handy, though, isn't it, to
I
use
know.
That?
That's why I use it.
But seriously, you know, they're talking about, I mean there are brand new rail car plants being built in the United States. I mean, think about this. Who would have thought that in the 21st century they would be building new rail car plants? There's going to be that much of a demand for rail
right.
over the next century. I mean, why would people put that much money into a new rail car plant?
I know.
If it weren't so. And
right.
So rail, folks, is going to be an option for you. And these, of course, these are not passenger rails. These are freight rails.
Right.
Made in America is finding more popularity because if it's not having to be shipped around the world, you know, Joan, this globalization thing may be shrinking a little bit.
How ironic is that? It's like the opposite of globalization.
How about that? Yeah,
it's exactly. Very interesting.
Yep, it's the equal and opposite. You know, the Newton's laws of gravity really are coming to play here, aren't they, Joan?
Yes.
Joan, let's move over and talk about quickly about let's see, the business elections, the initiatives, some of the areas. Energy is a big deal, going to be a big deal in Maryland. The environmental spending is going to be a big deal in Arkansas. We're going to come back after the break and talk about this, folks. High speed rail, Joan, in California. I was just talking about that.
Hey.
We're going to talk about these things when we come back after these messages, folks. We're going to get into franchising. We got a little bit on that. Some green regulations and some foreign policy. Try to get all that done before the hour's over. It's almost 9 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Here's Bobby Darin to take us out. JJ, you're the best. Here's Bobby Darin, ladies and gentlemen.
Three guesses.
Isn't it? Yeah. We're going to let him run here just a little bit.
Wrong.
What do we do? Welcome back, folks. We're trying to... There it is. There it is. A little Bobby Darin, folks. It doesn't get any better than Mac the Knife and Bobby Darin. Right, Joan?
Oh, excuse me. I nodded off for a minute.
Joan Pride. I love that guy. Bobby Darin. The late, great Bobby Darin, folks. We lost him way too soon. He should still be here. He should still be singing. But anyway. Hey, Joan. Okay, JJ. That's enough. Let's talk about some of these initiatives on the ballot. Energy in Maryland. What's the big deal there? Electricity's going up.
That's our next door neighbor, which yep. makes it even more interesting for me.
Mm-hmm. And so what's going to happen there? What are they trying to get done?
Well, Maryland is expected to approve a requirement that 15% of electricity be produced from clean energy sources by 2021. So that's pretty far out.
Yeah. So clean, what would that be? Like like wind and solar and is nuclear considered clean?
Well, good question. I wonder what they would, you know, it depends on how they define what a clean energy
source
is.
See, this is what irritates me about the greenies, Joan. I don't mean this sarcastically. No, I'm serious.
Here we go.
They always have these terms and all these things that they want, But they aren't specific about how we're going to get there. And even if when they are, the getting there that in, with what they're talking about is not realistic.
Well, but we're just not. I'm sure the legislation says what a clean energy source is. It's just
right.
that we don't say it in the letter.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, I don't have enough time to argue with you about
budget.
That. So let's. Yeah, that's me. Environmental spending, Joan, in Arkansas. What's that all about?
Well, Arkansas is going to approve a bond issue to finance water pollution control, and Ohio may authorize borrowing for what they call restoration programs, and we're saying that the folks in Minnesota will vote on imposing a state tax to finance conservation.
Folks, if you think green is not going to be part of your life in the future, you know, you're going to be, you and I are going to be kicking
yeah.
and screaming into the 21st century. I mean, I'm in favor of green. I just don't want to shut the economy down to get it. But, Joan, I wanted to get to this one here, though, this one in the middle, high-speed rail. I love this idea.
This is good.
Yeah.
California's got a $9 billion bond issue coming up for a vote, and this would connect San Francisco and Sacramento to L.A. and San Diego. And boy, the folks sitting in their cars on the freeways not moving would like that.
I'll tell you something, Joan. I just think we need to do this. We need maglev.
Yep.
We need it connecting every. We just need it. I think.
Right.
I would ride it, Joan. I'd do this instead of riding an airplane, and I don't mind flying.
Sure.
This is an investment we need to make, and maglev is, and it's a clean resource too, isn't it?
Yes, it sure is.
Because it's electric, right?
Exactly. Right.
It's the electrified magnets that move the thing along. Joan, let's move down quickly and talk about franchising. The one thing that's interesting, my franchising experts point out that when the economy slows, interest in franchising grows.
Absolutely.
And you guys point that out this week.
That's true in a lot of different areas. I find that the senior care services is a very interesting concept.
Yep.
Which we're going to need more and more in order to help people live independently in their homes and not have to go into assisted living or a nursing home.
Yep. And Joan, when you're a senior baby boomer like me, you're happy for that information.
Yeah, but you're a junior baby boomer.
Well, no, I'm only about I'm not very far behind the leading edge there, Joan.
You're not in the forefront, no.
I'm pretty close. Anyway, I'm glad to hear that. All you senior care franchise guys, get your cornflakes together so you'll be ready when I need you.
Exactly.
Joan, let's move over and talk about, as we wrap up, Joan, Georgia and Russia. We got to talk about this. You guys report on this week. This is really scary, isn't it? I mean, it's scary in a way, but Joan, don't we now completely understand how Putin thinks and what he's prepared
but
to
I
do.
But I thought we looked into his soul and thought he was a good guy.
George Bush, when he said that, I cringed. I said, please, George, why don't you say
Putin
that?
Putin is a smart guy. There was an article recently saying he knows that we need him more than he needs us.
Yep.
And this is how he's playing it, and I'm not sure how we stop him.
Well, the oil situation is making Russia more powerful than they really should be.
That's
when
right.
you've got the leader who's nostalgic for the USSR, Joan.
Right. Well, he was part of the KGB.
He's a KGB guy.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, this guy is... when I look into his soul, I don't see anything, Joan.
Right.
So, anyway. Hey, Joan, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll see you next time.
That sounds great.
Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I'm going to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blassingame reminding you that when opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.